Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group first quarter trading update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graehsler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Trocchia, you may begin.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks you for attending the today conference call on Safilo Quarter 1 2020 trading update. Quarter 1 2020 will be, and I think every one of you can agree, will be most remembered as the beginning of a period of unprecedented and really extraordinary challenges in which our thoughts and actions have been first and foremost focused on the health and safety of all our people. We have immediately and in a very rigorous way implemented in all offices, in all locations of Safilo, all safety and prevention protocols. Everywhere, as I said, manufacturing in Italy, distribution center, headquarter, distribution center abroad, starting obviously with China, Hong Kong and Shanghai, and then country after country, and ending in all the commercial subsidiaries. I really want to thank again each and every one of our people for the huge effort that they have been doing and they are making every day, and the commitment and dedication that they have really continued demonstrating throughout this time. And in this period of strong business challenge at Safilo, we want also to give not only to show our closeness to our people, but also to give the possible support of our communities and the healthcare professionals who are every day in the front line to respond to this health emergency. We have launched the activity hashtag United for Eye Care, our global corporate activity put in place in different countries by Safilo and its brand for the production and donation of safety glasses, goggles, and face shields to supply to hospital and frontline medical workers in clinical needs around the world. I will take a few additional minutes at the end of the presentation, and I will give a little bit more insight on this specific project or activity. But at the same time, we have immediately focused on doing everything possible to support our customers, ensuring seamless operations and business continuity. I just like here to remember that also in the peak of the crisis in Italy, we didn't have any disruption. We've been continuing to provide with no disruption service to our customer, taking orders on 24 hours, 7 days on our online and via our B2B website. And our customer service, which has been working completely in smart working, has been fully assuring the full service to the customer. So people, our people, the community, but also the customer in the heart of all what we've been doing. We've been also offering to our customer a series of very well-received virtual training seminars on a variety of topics from brand, product training, visual merchandising, and eyewear technology. And we will continue to make these initiatives available to our customers, staying connected and ready to restart together also in the new ways, also in this new environment. Today, our production logistics sites in Italy and elsewhere in the world are partially operative to ensure manufacturing and service level which are fine-tuned on new consumption scenario, while in our headquarters in Padova, we are mixing and alternating between smart working, temporary layoff, and holidays. We have extended the smart working solution to the vast majority of our office people, almost in all our offices around the world, using laptops, remote phone system, and video technology. And I have to say that maybe in this period we've been even more engaged, both internally and both externally, even more than in normal time. So in these very special circumstances, we have set up since day one, I'm talking about mid of Feb, we have set up a global crisis team, meeting every day morning and talking every day to our leaders around the world to assess together how lockdowns and business sentiment are evolving and modulate according our contingency and recovery plan. We are strictly focusing on minimizing discretionary expenditure and capex, adjusting marketing plans, and implementing as much of an effective working capital and cash protection management as possible. In the context of the measures to contain costs, the members of the board of directors have renounced to part of their annual director compensation, and the extended global management team have renounced part of their annual compensation and vacation. The situation we are experiencing on one side, one of the most complex we have ever seen. I think no one of us has really gone through such an experience. Is aware, and I'm really, really strongly convinced about that, offering us opportunities to accelerate the digital transformation we have outlined in our strategic plan 2020-2024 that we presented last December. And why this acceleration will be happening? Because via a fine-tuning, a series of action and tools which will allow us to even more effectively address this new context, working better and more effectively with our clients and consumers throughout the world. In these days, this period has shown that digitally we can keep in contact with our consumer, we can keep contact with our customer even better. Just let's recall that our digital transformation has three main legs: digital marketing, the B2B ecosystem, and the D2C e-commerce. In these days, we continue to work on several fronts to achieve this goal. Specifically, we work hard and we have even accelerated to progress on the development of our new business-to-business platform for clients and on the new CRM program and initiatives to drive, as never was needed in this moment, drive traffic in store when the shops will start reopening. We expect to start rolling out the B2B ecosystem from summer 2020 in Europe. We furthermore work to sharpen digital marketing campaigns, which will restart with gradual investments when the markets will be ready and when we start working tightly. And on the other side, we have been start working tightly with Privé Revaux to cross-fertilize capabilities. I think Privé Revaux is exactly spotted on what is working during these days. Finally, on the D2C e-com, we have seen this channel significantly outperform the market as consumers have shifted shopping preferences online, reinforcing a trend that has already been very clear before the COVID time. This has driven the business of Smith, but also has been a positive for the online business of Privé Revaux, which is in these days is getting ready to launch its Eric's optical proposition online in US. We are confident that we will be able to close our second acquisition Blenders within the second quarter, whose fully online business has also continued to grow disproportionately since the beginning of the year. As we have already commented, first quarter of 2020 started well for Safilo. We had a solid and promising January and February, overall up mid-single digit, particularly positive for our own core brands, Carrera, Polaroid, and Smith, which were up double digit in the 2 months, but also for some of our core licensed brand, Hugo Boss, Tommy, Jimmy Choo. We had on top the launch of our new free partnership, David Beckham, Levi's, and Missoni, at the beginning of February. We acquired Privé Revaux to enrich our own brand portfolio of different business proposition and new brands in this new digital marketing arena. As is known, positive business trend were suddenly interrupted in the month of March, first in Italy and from the middle of the month across Europe, and then very, very fast to US, as the outbreak has been spreading really, really fast all over the place. And it was starting from those last 2 weeks that the most severe measure of national lockdown and halt of business activity were imposed by the public authorities in the affected country, more heavily disrupting the performance of the month and our first quarter results. On April the 6th, we anticipated expectation for our quarter one net sales to decline by 11-13% at constant exchange rate. Revenues were eventually down 11.5% at constant exchange rate, -10.8% at the wholesale business, excluding the production agreement with Kering. On the other hand, our adjusted EBITDA margin declined disproportionately to 2.6% of net sales from 8.1% in the same period of last year, dragged down by not optimized supply chain, factory utilization, so reduction of the supply chain efficiency, which has been driven by temporary shutdown of the manufacturing and sourcing activities in China, but also by a subdued operating leverage as the big drop of business occurred in one of the seasonally most sizable months of the year in terms of sales and cost. On the liquidity front, the first quarter, our cash needs remain under strict control, and we closed the period with a group net debt of 135.5 million euro, including IFRS 16, and clearly the acquisition of Privé Revaux, the latter fully driving the around 61 million euros increase in the position compared to December 2019. Today, we are actively utilizing our credit facilities in order to maximize cash management flexibility and responsiveness. And we are also actively assessing current and future financing opportunities, including the possibility for our group to access the financing provided by the so-called Italian Decreto Liquidità. I stop here and I hand over to Gerd for some additional comments on top line and bottom line.
Thank you, Angelo, and good evening to all of you connected in the call and the webcast. Let me then look in some more detail at our net sales, which in the first quarter equaled 221.1 million euros, down 10.6% at current currency and 11.5% at constant exchange rates all in, and -10.8% at constant forex at the wholesale level. This decline was entirely driven by the drop of volume, while the sales mix remained slightly positive, together with some forex tailwind. Following what Angelo has just commented, in the months of January and February, all our own core brands, Carrera, Polaroid, and Smith, had positive accelerating trends compared to last year, which allowed them to close the quarter with a more moderate decline, overall down 3.4% at constant exchange rates. This performance was driven by Carrera, down 5%, and Polaroid, down 7% at constant exchange rates, while the sales of Smith remained slightly positive in the period, up 0.7% at constant Forex, thanks to the positive performance of the sports channel and of its online business, which in the period was up 4%. This leads me to highlight that in the first quarter, our total online sales increased by almost 25% at constant exchange rates, representing 6% of the group's total revenues from 4% in Q1 2019. The positive performance was spurred by the strong business recorded with the main internet pure players we work with, a positive dynamic that we have seen continuing into the month of April. As for our licensed brands, Tommy Hilfiger, Hugo Boss, and Jimmy Choo were relative outperformers among licenses on the back of their strong start to the year, while the contribution we had from the launch of our three new brands, David Beckham, Levi's, and Missoni, fully compensated the decline we recorded on Dior, which, as a positive note, did not exceed our budget projection. Finally, the acquisition of Privé Revaux contributed for 1.5 months to the quarter for 5.5 million euros, all recorded in North America. Let me now go to our sales performance by geographic area. Net sales in our biggest region, Europe, declined 13.5% at current and constant exchange rates, with a wholesale business which was down 12.2%, mainly due to the significant contraction we recorded in March in Italy, which was the first European market to be severely hit by the outbreak of COVID-19 and by the subsequent lockdowns implemented by the Italian government. The rest of Europe, in particular Spain and France, sadly and quickly followed suit in the second half of the month, enough of a setback to drag South Europe quite deeply into negative territory. On the other hand, business in Germany, Northern and Eastern Europe countries remained more sustained, driven by Hugo Boss, Polaroid, and Tommy Hilfiger. In North America, net sales recorded a contraction of 7.8% at constant exchange rates, a performance which reflected the significant deterioration of the business environment suffered by the market starting from the second week of March, when the majority of customers stopped accepting sales reps' visits for order collection and immediate delivery. This was the case for an increasing number of independent optical stores, chains, and department stores, which were then eventually to shut down. The consequences of this severe lockdown were more heavily suffered by our U.S. brands portfolio, Fossil, Juicy Couture, Banana, and also Kate Spade, while in the upper contemporary and fashion luxury segment, Fendi and Marc Jacobs were the two mostly hit. On the positive side, to support our overall sales performance in North America, the just mentioned acquisition of Privé Revaux, a U.S. origin brand which goes to enrich our Encore brands portfolio, but also the very resilient performance of Smith, up 3.5% at constant Forex in its home market, Hugo Boss, which progressed very well for the greater part of the quarter, and relatively speaking, I'd mention also Tommy Hilfiger closing flattish and Carrera down mid-single digits. Moving to our emerging markets, Q1 in Asia-Pacific declined by 17.5% at constant currency, hit by the early lockdowns imposed in China to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak, which strongly impacted our business, in particular towards the travel retail channel, chains, and the boutiques of our fashion houses. Business to independent stores in China was relatively more resilient, together with our sports business Smith in Australia. To conclude on our top line, in the rest of the world, net sales were down 10.5% at constant exchange rates, mainly as a result of the significant sales deterioration we experienced in Brazil, while positive trends resumed in Mexico after the deceleration experienced in the fourth quarter, and also in the IMEA markets, where the sales recorded a growth compared to the same period of last year. Let's then move to the key items and topics of our gross operating performance. As usual, in our quarterly trading updates, we provide our EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA, and we do it now exclusively post IFRS 16, as the periods are now fully comparable. As already highlighted by Angelo, the decline in profits and margins was significantly higher than what we experienced at the top line level, and this was, for a greater part, due to the negative dynamics we suffered at the gross profit level. In the first quarter, our industrial profit equaled 109.4 million euros, down 16% compared to the previous year, while the margin on sales contracted to 49.5% from 52.7% a year ago. A dilution of 320 basis points, which is mainly explained by the overall lower efficiency of our supply chain due to temporary manufacturing interruptions and half of sourcing activities in China between January and February, with their gradual recovery during the month of March, and also a higher impact from obsolescence cost as we increased our related provision at the end of the quarter to account for the current scenarios. On the other hand, sales mix was more favorable on gross margin as the lower weight of the Kering supply business outpaced some negative impact deriving from the decline of Dior. Below the gross margin, to arrive at our adjusted EBITDA of 5.8 million euros, which is equal to a 70.8% decline compared to the same period of last year, we suffered a further 230 basis point margin dilution due to the strong operating deleverage we recorded in March, which is one of our biggest months for sales, but also for marketing and selling expenses. While cost containment measures started to be adopted quickly in the month of March, there was not the short-term opportunity to adjust the cost so drastically. As far as our overhead savings program is concerned, this indeed continued into the first quarter for a total of 3 million euros. Finally, on my side, and anticipated by Angelo already, our net debt at the end of March remained under control, standing at 135.5 million euros post IFRS 16, compared to 74.8 million euros at the end of December 2019 and 105.7 million euros at the end of March last year. Group net debt included an IFRS 16 impact of 45.5 million at the end of March 2020, close to the 47 million euros booked at the end of December last year, while the accounting impact was higher at 79.3 million euros in March 2019, when the Solstice retail business was still in our books with its store leaseholds. The position at the end of March 2020 also reflected the 61.6 million euros for the acquisition of the 61.34% controlling interest in Privé Revaux, of which 30 million were financed through a subordinated loan provided by Safilo's reference shareholder and for the remaining portion through our available resources. The increase of our group net debt at the end of March 2020 compared to last year in the end was fully driven by the acquisition. Despite the deterioration of our economic performance, we had more favorable working capital dynamics, meaning the seasonal cash absorption was lower than in the same period of last year, mainly following a decrease in inventories as the sufficient stock levels we had at the end of 2019 granted us the opportunity to continue serving the positive market demand between January and February. Although we do not usually provide on a quarterly basis and it's not relevant for testing, in this occasion we are also highlighting the financial leverage, which increased to 1.6 times at the end of the quarter. The way it is calculated is excluding the impact of IFRS 16 and the 30 million euros subordinated shareholder loan for the acquisition of Privé Revaux. Following on Angelo's comments, I would also like to confirm that we continue working with all our credit lines available, which we have fully drawn in the quarter in order to maximize available liquidity and minimize time to action. We are in parallel in active talks with our lending banks to assess the new financing resources provided by the Italian Decreto Liquidità in order to strengthen the group's liquidity position and to safely navigate through this period that is quite exceptional at the moment. I hand it over to Angelo for his final remarks.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to give you an update on how the business has evolved after the closure of the first quarter. As expected, in the months of April, the business activity showed a further significant deceleration compared to March, reflecting the almost complete shutdown of the various distribution channels where we sell our products, with the online business which was the only exception. In China, where the virus emerging seems to be normalized, in April we reported a meaningful improvement compared to the exit speed we recorded in the month of March. And this is indeed a very encouraging business. And the signs we are receiving from China are every day more encouraging. Despite the possibility to see such positive dynamics soon across our key markets following the easing of the lockdowns and restriction that the different countries are now envisaging, we expect such a restart between May and June to be very gradual and patchy. For this reason, why it is still very difficult to have visibility on how much recovery we will experience in these coming months, it is nonetheless clear that our second quarter net sales will be hit more heavily than what occurred in the first quarter, with a consequent greater contraction of our operating results, which are now forecasted to be in negative territory. Clearly, we will keep you posted and updated on how our business and sector environment will evolve, notwithstanding the impossibility to provide a new outlook for the full year. Given the still high level of uncertainty surrounding the pandemic and the future recovery of worldwide economies, obviously we need to see keeping track on how the lockdown will be eased around the world. I want to conclude by briefly coming back to the activity so-called United for Eye Care project, under which we are today repurposing a portion of our manufacturing to produce safety glasses and facial shields to supply Italian hospitals in critical needs. These are certified personal protective equipment devices produced in our plants in Santa Maria di Sala and in Bergamo. Like just remember, Bergamo was one of the worst hit regions in Italy. After the first launch batch of 10,000 pieces, equally divided between face shield and protective glasses, which were delivered to Papa Giovanni XXIII Hospital in Bergamo, different hospitals in Milano and in Roma, in the Padova area, in Latina, in Brescia, we are producing more to continue supporting health workers on the front line in Italy's fight against COVID-19. These donations, all branded Carrera, are also running at international level. In Spain, which has been a second country in Europe strongly hit, Polaroid is making a contribution to local health care facility, donating 5,000 medical protection masks to operators involved in the COVID-19 health emergency. The supply is delivered to 15 hospitals in a certain number of care residents located between Madrid, Barcelona, and other cities in Spain. In U.S., Smith has joined Goggles for Doctor, a movement to support local and national personal protective equipment shortage across U.S. Smith is currently sending new and used goggles to fulfill hospital requests and will continue to promote the program, encouraging its community to, on a voluntary basis, donate on the individual level. Also, Blenders Eyewear has converted part of its production to make protective glasses for healthcare workers. 10,000 medical devices approved by the Food and Drug Administration have already been donated to hospitals in San Diego and in Los Angeles, and is collaborating with Direct Relief, an international humanitarian aid organization, to supply another 20,000 pieces to the most difficult areas in the United States. In addition, for the entire month of April, 5% of Blenders Eyewear online sales will be donated to the same Direct Relief. This project, or mainly this activity, is having an important impact on several manufacturing companies, and Italian opticians have shown some great interest for this protective device for internal use or for the workers. Said that, we stop here and we wait for your questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Please stand by while I compile the question and answer list. This will take a few moments. Your first question comes from the line of Cedric Rossi from Bryan Garnier. Please ask your question.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I just have one question regarding the outlook. So, Angelo, I heard the current trading you gave on April and May, but I just wanted to have more color on the mood of the retailers from the discussion you have currently with them. If we take the two main categories, so prescription and sunglasses, so I assume that prescription. So let's figure out. I'm trying to figure out what could be the trends on the stores that reopen. So regarding prescription, so I can understand that since many people could not get their high exams during a few weeks, and given the sanitary measures in stores, we can expect some bottlenecks. So probably prescription the rebound could be a bit longer than expected. And regarding sunglasses, so I can understand that the start of the season was disrupted by the store closures. But given what's happening in for fashion groups, who succeeded in extending the spring summer collection, do you also expect for the sunglass category? Also, to extend the sun peak season that could go until July or August, and enable you to catch up with the tough start to the quarter. Thank you.
Okay, I mean, first of all, I think we need to understand that in this moment we have quite a patchy situation in terms of retail. Let's try to start region by region. In Asia, I mean. And also within Asia, let's look to Hong Kong and China, we are getting definitely positive feedback for the retail. So let me say China is, from a retail perspective and from a retail customer and consumer perspective, let me say we see clear sign of positive mood and the traffic also within the respect of the current limitation, the traffic is back there. If we go to Europe in this moment is divided in two. So you have the north, Denmark, Norway, Austria, where the retail, and Germany, where the retail have reopened. The current number is that still, yes, they are reopened, but not all of them are open. And anyhow, they see still a drop in traffic around 50%. So it's really traffic drop. So let me say, going back to your question, the effect is similar on between prescription and sunglasses. Obviously, it's lighter worse on sunglasses. If we go to the rest of Europe, Italy has opened Monday. Portugal and Greece, I think that would be closer to reopening to Italy, Spain and France will come a little bit late, and now UK looks like they're going to be the last in the row. So it's very important to understand that there is quite a patchy reopening process, so also in terms of traffic, and this is the reason why it's a little bit difficult to really understand what is going to happen, because clear here, time is quite crucial. And I comment partially on why time is crucial. If you look to U.S., I mean, most of the 3.0s, they are in the reopening mood, but still quite slow there. So we don't see the speed of reopening that, in a way, we were expecting. But U.S. is quite difficult to understand if now Trump is really going to give a little bit more push on that. So, as I said, very patchy situation by region and within the region by country. And here, to answer to your question, prescription versus sunglasses, is always that if the speed of reopening, let me say, if by mid of May most of Europe is going to be reopened and U.S. will accelerate, I think there is a space to stretch the sunglass season. Obviously, if the reopening is going to happen too late, then it's obvious that the retail will be very nervous. So in this moment, the answer is really depending how fast the reopening will happen there. I have to say that, as I said, we are very, very tight in connection with the customer because we've been really kept a channel open with them. But obviously they are saying, look, let's see how the traffic will go in the next. I think what is crucial is the next 2 weeks. So if in the next 2 weeks the traffic in the country which are already reopened will increase, and if U.S. really speed up the opening, then I think the sunglasses season can be saved and can be even prolonged. If the lockdown will be too long, then it will be much difficult. So the next 2 weeks, according to all the discussion we're having with the customer, are going to be crucial.
Okay, super. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Domenico from Gilotto from Equata. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon to everybody. My first question is a follow-up on the situation. I'm trying to understand what is the inventory level in the retailer. So if they really stop really purchasing, so you are really strictly linked to the sales because as soon as sales are restarting, they will start the reorders, or if they were stuck with some inventory in the stores. Second, I wonder if there are discussions, what kind of discussions there are with the brand owners, with different brands for the collection. So how will you manage, will they manage, and you manage the spring-summer collection? Any chance of getting, say, get rid of the unsold inventory together with in agreement with the brands? And third, just a clarification on the guidance you gave. So when you say, okay, you are expecting negative operating results in Q2, are you referring, I presume, to EBITDA level already? And fourth question is on Blenders. Can you explain why the deal has not been closed yet? So if there is any risk on that? Or if Q2 is really the deadline. And last, but probably not least, on the liquidity side, can you remind us, so what is the level of liquidity that you have, and are you discussing for additional, you were referring to the decreto liquidità, so can you give us a sense of what is the size that you can get from this, if you have already visibility?
Yeah. Okay, so I will answer to the first two. I will answer to the easy one, and Gerd will answer to the three difficult one. I mean, this is the criteria of the choice, yeah. So in terms of the inventory, I have to say, I think that obviously the retail, they have some inventory because, you know, the lockdown was quite sharp. I think this is why now the retailer are, let me say, in a look-and-see mood, in the sense to say what is going to happen in the next 2 weeks on the traffic, and then to understand what to do on the inventory. But I don't think that due to the fact that somehow the lockdown has happened quite early, I don't think that, yes, they are sitting on the inventory, but I don't think it's really a huge inventory. Also because due to the China supply crisis, which has not been our case, but some of the suppliers have been short in delivering at the beginning. So yes, obviously, you know, it's typical of this industry to have an inventory. I don't think it's really a big inventory. The real question they have, and they are sharing openly with us, is what is happening on the traffic in the next 2-3 weeks. In terms of spring-summer of collection, here we took the decision, which I don't think everyone took the same decision. I think that, first of all, the reason why January and February we were really performing very, very well was because we decided to anticipate the January collection. So we were ready at the beginning of January really with the collection, which has never happened in the year. And this was a decision taken pre-COVID. During COVID, we have anyhow decided, and this has been our decision, to keep the April collection. I'm not sure that all the suppliers have taken this decision, but we took this decision to give to the retail the possibility to have some new things to sell when they reopen. So we have kept a smaller, but we have kept the April collection, and we have kept the April collection, the August collection. So in terms of collection, working on the quantity and working on the number or on the breadth of the collection, but we took the decision to keep both the April collection and the August collection. I'm not sure this has been the same for the other, but the point here is that I think, especially in this moment, we need to give help to the retail, and one help is try to work with them to drive traffic. The other one is to have news to the consumer, and then, you know, have a story to the consumer to buy. So we took, as I said, being very tight on breadth of the collection and volume, but we took this decision. I pass by to there.
Okay, on the third question, yes, the overrating line guidance for the second quarter refers to the EBITDA. On Blenders, why is it not closed yet? There was one step outstanding that required the clearing from certain U.S. authorities. Those authorities, in the wake of the coronavirus, have obviously been overwhelmed and understaffed and closed. So this step has taken a little bit longer, but at this point we are almost there, so there's nothing wrong with the transaction, and we expect that in the coming weeks and certainly within this quarter we are going to have the closing. On the last point of the liquidity, Let me put it this way. So starting point is the net financial position that we had in March of the 135.5, within which we had a cash balance of approximately 100 million. If I look at where we just closed April, because April clearly was a very difficult month in terms of business, as you can imagine, the net financial position of April is substantially in line with that one of March, you know, so basically the cash protection that we have been able to launch very quickly has shown results so far. Then what we are doing is, let me say, on the operating side, we are focused on strong cost reduction, marketing, of course, because the consumption scenario is different, personnel cost, leveraging social tools and amortizers everywhere in the world, from the United States to Australia, Europe, Italy, everything, and reduction of any discretionary G&A. We have minimized CapEx, so we have taken away everything that is discretionary and minimized the cash outflow in this period. Now, the critical point is the famous restart, which I think at this moment, as Angelo was also saying, is patchy. I think it's a fair assumption for any company that probably lockdown measures are going to be lifted within the second quarter. I think it will be critical to see how quickly our business will come back, both in terms of sales, but also in terms of receivables collection from customers that have been closed for some weeks. And so how that exactly will come back in May and June, I think, is going to be critical considering the ingoing position of the end of April that I just mentioned. So I see the business and also the liquidity of the company under pressure in the second quarter, for sure. For how much and for how long, I think, will depend on the speed and depth of the recovery. So on top of this operational stream, let me call it, we are running the financing stream, which on the one hand, we wanted to be sure that we have all cash and liquidity on existing lines with us so that we have minimum time to action and we have drawn all the existing lines. And we have now new opportunities, and in particular the Decreto Liquidità in Italy, but there's also other schemes in different countries around the world. So we are in active discussions with the banks on this one to do all we can possibly do in order to bridge this period operationally and financially. I think the Decreto would consent us a very significant size, more than I think we would need in any scenario, because we do have a significant footprint, a significant personnel cost, and also turnover here in Italy. So this is indeed, I think, a promising approach for us. But it's a road that is not necessarily a fast one, because you know this is a process that is run through government and banks, etc. So will take some more time to go through it, but we are on it.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. And you have a further question from the line of Cedric Rossi from Brian Garner. Please ask your question. Cedric Rossi, your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's me again. I just wanted to have an idea of the performance of Blenders Hours in Q1. So was the brand still in the positive territory? And thank you.
North of 30% growth.
Okay. Super. Thank you. Yeah.
You have a further question from the line of Domenico Galotti from Equita. Please ask your question.
It was just complete review on the working capital side. I was wondering, what are you doing in terms of payables? So is the very good performance in liquidity in March, in April, sorry, was also supported by payables?
Yep. So let me say there are two trends. I mean, so far, I have to say that on the receivable side, we have been still able to collect, let me say, not normally, but at least satisfactorily considering the circumstances. On the other hand, we are working on payables, actively working on payables. We have had discussions with many of our suppliers. Obviously, everybody is in the same situation. It's not a Safilo problem. And we have been renegotiating due dates of payments, and we have been able to roll forward the due date of some payables in this period in order to also help protect the liquidity and rebalance a bit the receivable and the payable dynamic.
Okay. And just to follow up on the previous question on the spring summer collections, I was wondering, because listening to Moncler, that they are taking big, say, write-downs on the products, on the collections, and spring-summer collections. I'm trying to understand if there is the opportunity or discussions ongoing with your licensor in terms of taking back the spring-summer sun collection is really the season is not kicking in.
Do you mean, Domenico, are we taking back product from the licensor boutiques, or are the licensors ready to take back product from Safilo, just to clarify?
No, licensors taking from Safilo in order to clean up, say, the market, in order to avoid that basically you have too many inventories and to move to the postpone to the new season, as we are hearing from, for example, apparel retailers, and they are saying, like, we will try to sell next year. But I think that brands will try to avoid this kind of disruption.
Look, this phenomenon is not in our case. I mean, first of all, I mean we own the stock. I mean, we own the product, so there is not this kind of discussion. But I have to say, we have been very, very tight on. Personally, I don't think that we have this risk in the sense that in most of the shops we were delivering the January collection.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't see this risk. The risk will be more, as I said, it's crucial what is happening between May and June, because mm-hmm. obviously that if the lockdown will keep longer till June, then in that case is an issue for the sun and for the August collection, which will can start slowly. But I don't see your point. I don't think it will.
Okay. So also in terms of your own inventory, so apart from what has been already delivered to stores, so it's not that high, so it's not unusually high. So you have not produced some.
No, you know why? Because I think at least, I mean, I can talk for us. I mean, we've been, first of all, we've been very, very tight. We were already very, very tight in managing the stock in Jan.
Okay.
And then as soon as we saw that, we stopped it. So we were not sitting on huge stock. So
mm-hmm.
For me, it's not so much an issue of stock now. For me, the issue is that related to what is happening, what is more happening, how big can be the August collection. But
yeah.
I don't see a huge deterioration on our stock position because we have been managing it very, very tight.
I think we had more the dynamic that at the end of December and in 2019, we had an increase in stock and we had a negative flow from inventory. And I remember, of course, the discussions in January with numerous investors that, why are you building stock? Then the whole COVID crisis hit China, disrupted the global supply lines, and we were able to use that inventory, which was fresh product. I mean, it was anyway January collection. We also were afraid a bit maybe for the restructuring in case we have some disruption in the factories, which never happened in the end. We had the stock, we sold the stock, and we were able to significantly reduce the inventory. In this period, I mean March and April, we are obviously managing very carefully the stock levels. We are producing only where we have either a back order or we have a confirmed demand, for example, on catering. You know, as long as the orders keep coming, we keep manufacturing. And then whatever else, we basically close the factories and we utilize the social tools to offset the stranded cost as much as we can.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
There seems to be no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, thanks very much to everyone. Have a nice evening. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.